Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
He says there's divisions of desirous attachment. There are three types of desirous attachment. So see if you find one that is causing you pain right now, because all of us have some. One is desirous attachment to past objects, which Buddha will describe in a minute. Two, desirous attachment to present objects. And three, desirous attachment to future objects. So this is just one paragraph, but I'd like you to really be open. Obviously you're here and you have some healing to do. We all do. So when it says in the liberating prayer, please heal my mental continuum, this is the healing, Buddhist teachings. And allow it to come into your heart and see if you can place yourself, think, oh, that's me, that's what I do. Like that, like a diagnosis. Okay, so the first type of desirous attachment is recalling a friend, and out of attachment, longing to meet him or her again. We often develop this form of attachment when indulging in nostalgia. For example, when we remember relatives who have died, possessions we have owned, places we have lived, or good times we have enjoyed in the past. So this attachment to the past is we're remembering and we're wishing that they hadn't left. Even though we know they had no choice, intellectually we know that, but we're still in pain. Do you know that one? We're still in pain. That's because our attachment's working a little bit, and we're thinking and feeling pain, wishing they were still here. Even though intellectually we know that they can't be, our desirous attachment is not wisdom, and it functions even though we know in our head that they can't be here. When our attachment's functioning, we grasp tightly. They shouldn't have left. I can't really live without that. I feel like there's a hole in my heart. I feel sadness all day and night. That's coming from attachment to that person. We're using persons. That's gone now. Maybe they left you. Maybe they passed away. That can be old and young. You know, we lose people all through our life. And even though we all know that that happens, our attachment says it shouldn't. That shouldn't happen to you. And we stay stuck in pain. Does that make sense? Our attachment is irrational. It's not something we decide to have. It's our natural reaction to loss. It's not rational. And it says, that shouldn't have happened. And we stay in pain, buying into that. Not because we choose to, but because it's really a big, familiar way of reacting. I think this will help you if you really think about it. Then examples of desirous attachment to present objects are, out of attachment, wishing for the pleasures we now enjoy, or the person, to last forever, wishing never to be separated from our present friends, possessions, and so forth. Like this, the anxiety we feel, and anxiety is painful, it's an unpleasant feeling. The anxiety we feel when we think of being separated from our partners, or losing our possessions comes from this type of attachment. We have to be wise. And now this teaching takes time, but you're worth it. So if we spend our whole life thinking, I can't imagine losing my child. I can't imagine losing my partner. I can't imagine. So when we're there, our attachment is blocking us from rational understanding. Of course, we'll be separated. If we face that truth and reduce our attachment, increasing our love, we win and pain goes away. So this is a very powerful medicine for the mind. That's why Buddha's known as for his like a doctor. It's like it's that attachment that's causing me constant anxiety, wishing that things would never change. And don't we say that on Valentine's cards? Never change. Of course, after a few weeks, we're thinking, please change. You know, we want, when we get a good moment with somebody, we think, oh, stay, hold that. Stay just like that. And a lot of times our attachment, that's what we remember just that moment. Remember when you said that perfect thing at that perfect time? Couldn't you just be like that now? So we're grasping tightly at things not changing. That's attachment to the present. I don't want things to change. Well, unfortunately, they do. They're changing moment by moment. On a subtle level, we're changing moment by moment by moment. But our attachment, which is irrational, says, don't change. I don't want you to change. I don't want these moments to change. You know, attachment makes our mind really tight, you know? Tight, anxious, grasping. I just don't want this moment to change. And then what happens is even in the moment, you're tight and grasping. We're not even enjoying the moment because we're so afraid. You know, when we're little, we have attachment, by the way. It's not just an adult issue. Everybody has this. Kids, teenagers, old people, young people, we all have it. Whenever our pain, thinking, I just don't want this to change, it comes from this, then we get strong grasping it. At permanence, this moment. And you think, oh, for goodness sake. So we're going to look at the antidote in a minute, but right now we're looking at the disease. So examples of the last one, desirous attachment to future objects are out of attachment, wishing to meet an attractive partner soon to acquire wealth or own a bigger house or whatever. We're always in the future thinking, I'll be happy when I have a successful online dating experience. I'll be happy when I find the partner that I've been dreaming about. We all go through this. Some people, their whole life is spent in the future thinking, I'll be happy when. You know that, we all have that. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. And so every time we think that, it is attachment because it's hooking your happiness to a future object that hasn't even appeared yet. That's really sad. I'll be happy when. You know, sometimes we're, I'll be happy when you stop that bad habit, honey. I'll be happy when you do this. I'll be happy when someone appears that will fulfill all my wishes. I've been waiting. I've been waiting for 6 years. Come on. Like that. So I think we need to, I would encourage you, this book explains attachment like no other book, all in a few pages, very powerful. It's not an easy book, but it's like essential if you want to understand these painful habits. So, even though we may never acquire these objects, nevertheless, due to this type of irrational thinking, whenever you think of attachment, think of irrational. It's irrational. It's not who I am. It's an irrational way of thinking and behaving. Nevertheless, due to this type of attachment, we still think, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when, or I'll be miserable if, like that, always hooking our happiness to something outside of ourselves. Another thing I like to think about with attachment, this helps me, is attachment. Attachment always takes you out of your mind. And that's the truth. When we're behaving according to our attachment, we look like we're out of our mind. Amazon counts on a lot of attachment in the minds of living beings. They could probably increase the Prime membership to $400 and we'd go, it's worth it. That's irrational. But our attachment doesn't have reasoning. It makes us do crazy things. That's what happens. So attachment to future objects is the basis. This is important. It's the basis for most of our discontent and disappointment. Always wishing for something else. Do you know? I mean, we all have these tendencies, but if we start to really identify that feeling, say, I'm not happy. My mind is feeling agitated. I don't feel happy. Then you think, what's going on? 90% of the time, I would say, attachment can be blamed. So this is like, I really want to heal your heart, increase your love, which is a rational mind. Love is a virtuous mind, it's rational. It's based in reality. Because when you love others, you don't experience pain. When people say love hurts, it's because they are mixing up attachment and love. Love doesn't hurt, it's a virtuous mind. So sometimes people think my love is all mixed up like soup with attachment. No, it's not like that. It's like for a while we have some pure love for someone, but then our familiar habit of attachment kicks in, and moment by moment we're having attachment. You know, I wish this, I wish that, please don't do that, my happiness depends on you behaving better, like that. And then we have some love moments. It's like, oh, I want you to be happy. I want you to be free from suffering. I care about you. It really is all about you. That's what I love. I love you. There's no conditions. You don't have to do anything to earn my love. Like that. That's when we're rational. We're actually in touch with who we really are. And when we're loving others, when our love is manifest, our attachment isn't. This is how you become your own protector. You catch yourself with an attachment way of thinking, and you replace that with pure love. It takes some practice, of course. But I think if we start to recognize the painful attitude of attachment, and it'll take, you know, a little bit of study, some blessings, some familiarity, and then you can really take off. And what if you learn how to recognize, reduce, and eliminate your attachment, you will not feel pain when you lose people. Isn't that worth it? Isn't it worth it to protect yourself? Because we're all going to lose people. And if all we do is worry about that, we actually lose the moments we have with them. Attachment is what causes pain and prolonged grief. It's believing that that shouldn't have happened. That's irrational. But it's our natural reaction. We have to understand this is our normal reaction. But in Buddhism, we are learning not to remain ordinary. Our precious teacher, the author of this book, and my precious teacher, and the founder of this tradition in the New World, Venerable Geshe-la, he said, with his eyes moist, looking out at the audience, he said, please do not remain ordinary forever. He's saying, watch your mind, learn how to heal yourself, follow Buddha's medicine, get rid of your attachment. It's our main affliction. It's so painful. Nothing pacifies that feeling of attachment except mental change. Nothing physical will do it. No one can fill that hole. You have to do that. You think, when someone leaves us, I forgot to read my note, but anyway, it's kind of natural. When someone leaves us, we often think that absence is what's causing my pain. Do you agree with that? When we lose anyone, we lose a pet, when we lose our partner, we lose our parents. Our normal way of thinking is that absence is the cause of my pain, and that will be eternal. Do you agree with that? Buddha's saying, that's not true. It's not the absence that's causing your pain. Absence is normal. Absence can't cause pain. What causes pain is our irrational attachment to that person, that experience. It's irrational. It keeps us in grief year after year after year. What we need to learn is that the thing that made you happy with them, so whether it's a child, a partner, whoever you've lost, what made you happy, and you can check, was your love for them. You wanted, your love for them is what made you happy with them. It wasn't your attachment. It's your love for them that made you happy, because it's a virtuous, rational, amazing mind. And here's the thing you need to remember. Your love for them is eternal. No one can take that away from you. No one. So the thing that made you happy in the relationship didn't leave. It's just their physical presence. That's all that left. Attachment to that's irrational. But our attachment makes us feel like we don't know that, so we just let it devastate us year after year. I know this. 20 years for me, 20 years, I looked for a way to get over the pain of a loss in my life. I tried everything. Maybe you have. I tried everything. I tried medical answers. I tried psychological answers. I tried escaping. I tried everything. Nothing worked until I met Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings through the vehicle of Geshe Kelsang, and actually the first moment of peace in my little life was studying this book in a different form 27 years ago. It was the first moment I heard a teaching on attachment and something changed in me. And I thought, wow, I don't understand it all right now, and I might not be able to remember it all, but I'm going for this. I haven't had a moment of peace, this was me, in 20 years because of a dramatic loss in my own life. This is one person with one loss. I'm just saying, Buddha's teaching on attachment is your best friend. There's nothing like this reasoning, nothing like it, but you won't know unless you put it into practice. So whichever one of the desirous attachment, I just call it attachment, it's just what it is. It's a raw, irrational, painful mind. So whenever you're having pain around a loss, blame attachment and see what happens. You don't have to be able to teach it or expound it. Just think, that pain is coming from my attachment. Fantastic. Then what you do is you just remember the love you have for that person. That is your rational, healing mind. And that love for them and their presence in your mind never changes, continues eternally. Eventually, you can learn through Buddha's more extensive teachings that ultimately we are all connected on a subtle level by our subtle consciousness. That never ceases. But our attachment, it just distorts everything and makes the loss massive. And our whole world goes dark, because it's an exaggerated irrational mind. Love, on the other hand, has lots of ways of healing. We'll look at that more next week, how we can use the vehicle of our rational mind to respond to loss, loneliness, and grief. So this is this week's diagnosis. You know how the doctor says, now you got a diagnosis. Think about that this week. I'd encourage you to think about this diagnosis. And if you can, read about attachment, and so that you can apply it in your life, see if it's valid. You do have to learn about the diagnosis. In Buddhist teachings, you know, it's not just a magic feel-good kind of thing. You have to use your mind. You have to think. Is this true or not? But you're worth it. And healing your mind is Buddha's promise. He says, by relying on Buddha's teachings, because he did that, Buddha showed that example, by relying on these teachings, understanding what is the real cause of my pain, attachment, fantastic, I never knew that. What is the cause of your happiness? Your love for them. That never ceases. Increase that until eventually I can say 100% guarantee. Every time I think about that person now, no pain at all. That's why I love Buddha, and one of the many reasons.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.